This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Second half of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. To be joined by Mike Kelly, he's a hockey analyst for TSN, The Point Hockey, and the NHL Network. Mike, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. How are you doing?
We're doing well, Mike. How are you doing?
Pretty good. We're getting down to the stretch run here, so it's a fun time of year. The playoffs a couple weeks away, and still a couple good races going on. Some teams have kind of locked into where they're going to be, but obviously with the Winnipeg Jets, there's in the last 10-ish games, there's still a lot of movement that could happen in that division, so it's a pretty exciting time for them.
And Mike, I wanted to start off with the Jets and specifically Patrick Laine. You put together a nice table about his passing statistics, and there has been a lot of talk here in Winnipeg. I imagine that you can appreciate that because Patty Laine, it looks like, has turned into more of a playmaker than a shooter. We were talking about his goal-scoring struggles throughout the month of December and January and into February, but now that he's on that top line with Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele, he's getting more assists than goals. And you specifically looked at slot pass completions, slot pass success rate, and ozone pass completions and success rate. And what did you find when you looked at that and what it says about Laine as a playmaker?
Well, look, I mean, the guy can make nice passes, right? I mean, we've seen some of the assists that he has since he's been on that top line, since he's been recently in the power play. He's got three assists in his last couple of games and two of them on the power play. He's made nice passes. You can think about that backhand pass to Blake Wheeler for the tap-in in front of the net. But at the same time, every NHL player in the league can make that pass. And if they can't, they shouldn't be in the league. So it's a nice play, but let's not get out of control here and start talking about Patrick Laine as this elite, gifted playmaker who all of a sudden, you know, should be putting up 60, 70 assists a year. He's a good playmaker. He's a good passer, as he should be. He's a good player in the league. His real value still comes in his ability to score goals and affect the game that way. So to answer your question, I mean, looking at, first of all, your pass completion rate in the offensive zone, which is a bit of an indicator of your passing ability. You know, that obviously depends on where you're trying to make these passes. You look at a guy like Blake Wheeler, his pass success rate in the offensive zone is not as high as some other people because so many of the passes he attempts to make are into really tough areas. And he's really good at that. He is an elite passer. So you look at Patrick Laine, pretty good numbers in the offensive zone on this top line in terms of his passing, getting pucks into the slot area, which is more difficult. Not as good, but good. And if you look for the season as a whole at 5-on-5, Laine, his pass percentage in the offensive zone is the lowest of any Winnipeg Jets forward. So I don't know how you can tell me that he's an elite playmaker. I would say this is, you know, kind of recency bias based on the fact that he's put up all these assists lately. But again, a lot of these have come on the power play, which is fine. But the whole notion that he's, you know, since he's been moved on the top line, we're really starting to see him become an elite playmaker. So much of it's on the power play, like I said. And with the top line in general, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Laine looks more engaged. And for a couple months, he wasn't scoring and he wasn't affecting the game in any way, shape, or form. He does look more engaged. He's moving his legs. These are all encouraging signs. But at the same time, I think he still has one even strength goal in the last 2 months. The top line has been outscored and outchanced since it was put together on February 22nd. So, you know, we could talk about improvements in the game, and that's fine, but, you know, probably should scale back the elite this and elite that because it hasn't been.
You know, Mike, one thing we've talked about earlier in the show is the need to probably get Connor Hellebuyck a little more rest. You know, his GSAA is not as good, nearly as good as it was last year. Lauren Brossoit has come in and shown that he's been a pretty able backup. You know, with that idea of rest and the ability to give your backup the starts, you know, I saw you guys had something on The Point Hockey about this last week. What do you think about Lauren Brossoit and his ability to take on some of the workload that Connor Hellebuyck has right now?
Well, look, he's been what I would say the best backup goalie in the league this season, Brossoit. He's been outstanding. And you can look at his save percentage and goals against and more traditional statistics. You can look at some of the things that that I dig into in terms of his save percentage from certain areas on the ice and how many goals he saves his team relative to league average based on the quality and the quantity of the shots that he faces. He's been outstanding. So, you know, given the fact that Connor Hellebuck, I think as of a day or two ago, maybe could still be the case, he's neck and neck with Freddie Anderson as the goalies who have faced the most shots. I had the heaviest workload this season. I'd really be looking hard at giving Brossoit some more starts down the stretch and resting Connor Hellebuck because, you know, you guys know you get into the grind of the playoffs. If you want to go to a cup final, that's 2 months of hockey. And you're going every game as a starter. So, I think the Jets, I mean, you look at where they are in the standings and what it is they're playing for. There's still meaningful hockey being played. You want to get those wins. They have a 1-point lead on Nashville, a couple games in hand and, you know, they should win the division. So I think you can play Brossoit for two reasons, to give Hellebuck that rest like you talk about, but also because he can be trusted in the net and you're not going to see that much of a drop in performance at the position when he's in there.
We're joined by Mike Kelly on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. You can find Mike's work on TSN.ca, the NHL Network, and thepointhockey.com.
You know, Mike, the Jets' recent win over the Bruins, we saw the game winner, and a real, real intense forecheck by the forwards, specifically Kevin Hayes and Kyle Connor, to kind of free up the puck to allow Nikolaj Ehlers a quick shot for the game winner. I mean, I saw your article through your Twitter. How important is that quick forecheck and aggressive tendencies if the Jets want to be successful in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a hallmark of Winnipeg's game, right? I mean, you guys watch them all the time. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, as much as skilled as they are, they're not really a rush team. They don't try to generate a ton of chances off the rush. You look at the way they generate a lot of their offense. It's from cycling the puck and from getting in, putting pressure on the defensemen, getting pucks behind them, pressuring those defensemen, getting the puck back, whipping it around the offensive zone and building up some zone time to create those cycle chances. So you know, that was a perfect example, I think. You talk about the way that they play and the way they want to play. That was great work. And you know, Kevin Hayes, I got a lot of time for him. I said a couple weeks before the deadline on the NHL Network that I thought he might emerge as the guy who becomes the most valuable trade deadline piece because of how good he is in so many different facets of the game. Big body down the middle, can create offensively, can be physical, really good defensive impact player as well. So, it's that was a typical Winnipeg Jets goal and how they created it.
We're joined by Mike Kelly on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. Mike, back on Tuesday, you wrote about how the Leafs were burned four times off of lost defensive zone draws in that game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, I was watching the game last night versus the Philly Flyers, and Austin Matthews scored a couple of goals late. But, I mean, just talking about the Leafs, we know that they're locked in to play the Boston Bruins in the first round, but does this team have any chance against the Bruins if they don't clean up their play in the defensive zone?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a chance. And the way you phrase the question, I think, is if they're playing this way in their own end, their chances decrease significantly, for sure. Look, the Maple Leafs haven't been a good defensive team all year. If you look at where they rank in terms of allowing scoring chances, go month by month. So in October, they were seventh. Very good. We'll go November, December, all the way to March here. So they go from seventh, 21st, 16th, 20th, 20th, 25th here in March. Freddie Anderson has been unbelievable all season, and I think until about the last week where his numbers have really taken a hit. He was right in that Vezina Trophy conversation. He's probably on the bubble of it now. But the Leafs scored, you know, similar to Winnipeg, the Leafs score are capable of scoring a lot. They get good goaltending, and the defense is not very good. Hasn't been very good. So, yeah, they don't clean it up from where they're at now, which is, you know, even worse than where they're typically at. But Boston will eat them alive. And you look at the end zone coverage. So the faceoffs, you know, all year they've struggled. And one thing that I look at is not only teams, how many faceoffs they win and lose, but what happens once those faceoffs have been taken. How many scoring chances do you create when you win a draw in the offensive zone? How many do you allow when you lose a draw in your own end? Maple Leafs don't win a lot of faceoffs in their own end, and they're second last in the league in terms of how many scoring chances they give up off those lost faceoffs. That's in-zone coverage, and that's coaching and execution from the players, and none of it's there. So, yeah, they got burned four times by Tampa Bay, who, surprise, surprise, creates the second most scoring chances off one offensive zone faceoff. And then Philly beats them three times off lost draws for Toronto in their own end. So it's a problem. Boston's a good team. They know how to win faceoffs. You get Bergeron out there, and he can pick you apart. You get that top line out there. They can whip the puck around, and they can pick a defense apart. So they have to make changes in the way that they play. This isn't – you talk about their in-zone coverage. It's not about, okay, we need to execute better. Let's get that fixed in the next couple weeks. They have to change the way that they play. This system they have where they pressure the guy with the puck, pressure. Good teams eat you alive. And what I said in that article, I mean, I made a reference to when I was in high school playing basketball, running all over the court, and the coach, he told me, okay, go stand here, and when I blow the whistle, you run and touch the wall. So he blows the whistle, I run, he stands there for a few seconds, then he throws the ball, and the ball gets there just before I do. And he says, moral of the story, ball moves faster than you do. Same thing in hockey. The puck moves faster than the players. So the Maple Leafs, they want to pressure and they want to constantly go after the guy with the puck. Skilled teams like Tampa and like Boston and Philly can score like them too. They'll move the puck faster than you can skate and you'll get picked apart. That's what we've been seeing.
You know, Mike, talking about perfection, the Tampa Bay Lightning seem to be that this season. They've got 112 points in 71 games. Last year they had 113 in 82 games, so they'll easily shatter that. What is it? It's easy to talk about all the good things they're doing. What is the one weakness, if you do see one, in this Tampa Bay team that can be exploited in the East?
Ooh, yeah, not much. You know, I'll say this. They give up a lot of chances. They're in that same boat with Toronto and Winnipeg. These high-scoring teams, good goaltending, give up a lot of chances. Why Tampa Bay gets away with it even more than anybody else, or why they don't mind it, number one, they can trade chances. They've got the best goalie in the world in Andre Vasilevsky, who I think should win the Vezina Trophy this year. And they've got such elite shooting talent. So if they get 15 chances in a game or 20 chances in a game and you do, who do you think is scoring more goals? It's going to be Tampa Bay against pretty much everybody. But they do give up chances. What you can do against Tampa Bay is if you can get the puck into their end and get it behind their defensemen and pressure those defensemen into making quick decisions, I think you can cause some mistakes. Tampa's another team where they get hemmed in their own end. You can create some pressure on them and get them moving around a bit. But, you know, we're really nitpicking here to find weaknesses in Tampa Bay's game. They're so strong everywhere. You look at the way they create offense. They can beat you every way. They can beat you with speed. They can beat you with a cycle game. They're a great forechecking team. That's maybe something they don't get enough credit for is how aggressive they are on their forecheck and forcing teams into mistakes and preventing teams from exiting the zone because of that forecheck. So it's kind of death by a thousand cuts, and Tampa can beat you. If they go up against a team that's a real speed-oriented team, they can play that game and beat you. If they go up against a team like a Winnipeg that's getting the puck in and you know, move it around and build that zone time, they can beat you that way too. So it's not going to be easy for anybody to beat them. I think the team that will probably end up having the best chance in the East would be Boston. And if everything goes right for Boston, you know, I think they could give Tampa some matchup troubles. But it's no surprise who the favorite is this year. They've been they got a chance to set, you know, maybe the best mark ever for a regular season, if not one of them.
You can see Mike on TSN and the NHL Network, and you can also read his work on TSN.ca and thepointhockey.com. Mike, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and enjoy the rest of the regular season leading into the playoffs. It should be an awesome 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, totally agree. You guys too, and enjoy watching Johnny Hockey against the Jets. Hopefully, you know, he takes it easy on Winnipeg for you. But
yeah, we're just hoping that nobody else got that flu bug.
Right?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that guy's fun to watch no matter who you're cheering for, right?
Absolutely, and Matthew Tkachuk isn't bad either.
Yeah, what do you have, five last night?
Five last night, yeah. He's up to 32 goals on the year.
Oh, that team can score. It's crazy.
All right, Mike, thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks, you too. See you guys.
All right, let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thanks to Mike Kelly of TSN, NHL Network, and thepointhockey.com for joining us last segment. This segment of the show is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center. Dr. Rikus and his team provide modern and comprehensive dental care for the whole family. To make an appointment today, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. A reminder that coming up at 11:15 a.m., that's about 25 minutes from now, we're going to be playing the Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet Will Call You bonus play, where one lucky caller will have a chance to win $1,000. Boys, this segment, we're going to talk about the Buffalo Sabres and whether we think Coach Phil Housley is in danger of losing his job. And, you know, I hate that we're even talking about this because I think Housley is a great coach, and he was obviously a great defenseman, arguably the best American defenseman of all time, certainly a top three American defenseman of all time. I'm going to give you guys some numbers here for the Buffalo Sabres, and then we're going to discuss whether or not we think that Phil Housley is in danger of losing his job after the year. I don't think that anybody's going anywhere now because there's only 10 or 11 games left in the season, but the Sabres have currently lost six games in a row. They're 0-5-1 over their last six. They're 2-9-2 over their last 13 games, and over their last six games, they're 3-11-2. No team in NHL history has won 10 games in a row and lost 10 games in a row in the same season. Ever.
Didn't the Flyers do it last year? I thought the Flyers did it last year.
No, they didn't lose 10 games in a row.
Oh, right. They won the 10 games in a row.
Right.
And then they didn't make the playoffs. That's what it was.
So no team has ever done that. Won 10 in a row and lost 10 in a row. The Sabres are right now 12 points behind Columbus. They're not making the playoffs. The Columbus Blue Jackets, I think they're 14 behind Columbus, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They're 14 now,
14. Yeah. They were 12 before last night, so I have to update the show plan here. But the Sabres are out of it.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to make the playoffs.
Which is hilarious, because don't you remember just earlier in the season when they were first and looking like giant beaters?
Before I get your take, I want to just read a quote from Mike Harrington, good friend of the show, columnist for the Buffalo News. This is what he said in his column yesterday. There's little pride left on this team. Too many guys are quitting on him. Speaking of Housley, Housley tried to point it out. It was scoreless after the third period Thursday, and that's true. And so was the Sabres' 9-2 advantage in shots on goal at one point of the second period. But when you haven't scored a goal in three games, that's grasping at straws. So considering that the Sabres were in a playoff spot a couple of months ago, and now they're 14 points out of a playoff spot, I mean, is this going to cost Housley his job?
Well, I mean, they're certainly clamoring for it. And, you know, we often talk about the idea that, you know, to change the culture in a room, you don't do it immediately. But oftentimes the easiest solution is to fire a coach as opposed to having to fire, you know, 20-something players into the sun. So, you know, often a coach is the guy who takes the fall. You know, Phil Housley came over from Nashville and he was seen as a bright light, taking a young Sabres team that really didn't have much expectation. And I think that probably is what kills Phil Housley the most. I think the fact that this Sabres team, as you touched on, went on that incredible run that put them so well positioned, but then ultimately they fell out of it. So as a result, you've got a team that suddenly probably didn't have crazy expectations. I mean, that fan base, which again, you know, this is a Sabres team that, when was the last time they were in the playoffs? I think it's been 8 years?
A long time.
Like 10 years for the Sabres to be in the playoffs?
A very long time.
So I think it's 10 years, actually. But anyways, so the point is, you have a team that people weren't expecting the Buffalo Sabres, you know, with the first pick overall, last year, to be a giant beater. But what were they expecting? They were expecting them to be competitive, probably compete for a wild card, similar actually probably in terms of expectation to the Carolina Hurricanes. And so I think as a result, you had people saying, okay, well, this team is going to be competitive. They're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. They're going to be doing this, this, and this. Now you've got the Carolina Hurricanes, who, as we all know, are in the first playoffs wild card spot right now in the East, with actually a game in hand on Columbus. And then you look, and Buffalo is, as he said, 14 points back. So that's got to be stinging for a lot of folks in Buffalo watching this team and thinking to themselves, well, what's going on with our squad?
The last time, by the way, the Sabres made the playoffs was 2011. So that's 8 years ago, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. 8 years ago. So to me, there's, you know, again, it's like, it's so tough because fans can only put up with so much losing for so long before they just want to tear everybody apart. And again, the Pegulas have put a lot of money into sports in Buffalo. But again, this fan base is 8 years, Ezzy. That's a long time to not be out with the playoffs. And, you know, you can always say, well, we're in a rebuild mode. But again, you have a team that puts up 10 wins. You know that this team can do it. But why are they not doing it now? So has Housley lost the room? I mean, again, we're not there, so it's hard to say. But it doesn't look good for Phil Housley right now in Buffalo.
And just quickly, the emotional roller coaster for fans. I mean, winning 10 in a row, you're thinking your team's on top of the world. We got Rasmus Dahlin. Things are good. And then the roller coaster just falls off the rails.
Well, you know,
and here we are.
You mentioned Rasmus Dahlin, right? First overall pick, of course, at the 2018 draft. And, you know, they didn't have him last year. They didn't have Jeff Skinner last year. They made a bunch of moves. They brought in Connor Sheary. And, you know, Connor Sheary isn't having a great year. He's got 12 goals in 66 games. I don't think that the Sabres were hoping that he'd score 30 goals, but I think they expected more than 12 goals out of Connor Sheary. But you've pretty much wasted a career year from Jeff Skinner. And, you know, when you talk about the Carolina Hurricanes, Dave, I don't think the Hurricanes on paper are much better than the Sabres.
Oh, I know.
And the goaltending has been a huge problem, right? Right. It's been a tough year for both Carter Hutton and Linus Allmark.
Especially when you look at what's going on in New York.
Right.
With the Islanders.
But when you look at that record, I mean, we brought it up. I mean, they have won 3 games over the last 16. 3-11-2 in their last 16 games. They've lost 6 games in a row. 2-9-2 in their last 13. So that's just not good enough. And I think Phil Housley is a very smart hockey guy. I mean, he was a really good assistant coach with the Nashville Predators, a perennial, you know, playoff team. And this is only his second year with the Sabres. But with the moves Jason Botterill made in the offseason, I think they were expecting to, at the very least, be closer to a playoff spot as opposed to 14 points out. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Lou Korak, good friend of the show. He's the St. Louis Blues correspondent for NHL.com. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
We're back again. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show is brought to you by our good friends at Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Bernstein's is proudly family-owned and operated and has been serving quality homemade food since 1985. For freshly made and fresh frozen foods delivered right to your door, visit shopbernsteins.com. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. We're joined by St. Louis Blues correspondent for NHL.com, Lou Korak. Lou, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Lou, we got the Blues and the Penguins coming up in Pittsburgh in just under an hour's time. A huge game for the Blues, who are struggling a little bit as of late. They're battling the Dallas Stars right now for that third seed in the Central Division. Where the Blues are at right now, they've obviously come a long way from where they were under Mike Yeo. Craig Berube has done an excellent job with this Blues team, but where is this Blues team right now? Are they where they need to be right now, or do you think they're just fighting through some of that late season, I guess, malaise?
Well, I think they're fighting it a little bit here, and it's, I guess, to be expected a little bit when you're missing a couple of your top scorers in the lineup. And good news for them, David Perron has been activated, and he will be back today after missing the last 24 games, which is definitely a shot in the arm for him. And now if they could just get, you know, Vlad Tarasenko back in the lineup, you know, they'll be in pretty good shape. But, you know, I don't think the players certainly expected to continue to ride that high of 11-game winning streak that they were on. I mean, it was a franchise record and something that, you know, it just doesn't happen all the time when you're getting into double-digit winning streaks like that. It's just so tough to do in this league. And they figured, you know, this was going to be a fight to the finish. And, you know, their last two games, you know, I won't make any bones about it. They're games they should have won. They're games that, you know, if you just look at the analytics and the numbers in the game, it's uncommon that they lost because of the statistics where they pretty much dominated in both games. Just came out on the short end of it because you couldn't put the puck in the net. But those are points that you want to have in the bank. You can't have them in the bank anymore. And Now you're going to have to go into a gauntlet of a building today and a team that's playing really well. But you know what? This is the Blues. This is who they are. They seem to rise to the occasion against teams that you maybe wouldn't expect them to beat, like a Penguins team today. And they've lost to teams this year that you would certainly expect them to beat. So it wouldn't surprise me if they go in there and win today. But does anybody expect it? Probably not. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me.
No, Lou, what is your impression so far of Robert Thomas in his first year? Not easy to make that jump from junior into the NHL. He's played 58 games, has 7 goals, 18 assists. But what has your impression been so far of his first season in the NHL?
I think it's been fine. He's treading water at times, and, you know, he's been given the responsibility here the last couple of games of playing on a top line with O'Reilly and Braden Schenn, knowing that, you know, Tarasenko's out of the lineup. They've used, you know, even when Schenn was out of the lineup there for the 6 games that he missed with the upper body, that, you know, somebody was going to have to jump in there. They tried to use Jaden Schwartz, and it just didn't work. And now Robert Thomas is getting his chance. Now, we don't know yet. You know, we won't know until the team takes the ice here shortly whether you know, Thomas will be there, or maybe David Perron will be thrust into that role. But, you know, he's 19 years old. Hey, you know, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be a learning curve. But I think he's handled it well, and I think you've seen in the last month or so especially that he's really starting to define himself and understand what he can be. Do you still find him at times deferring to the veterans and maybe – you know, trying to make an extra play or trying to get a puck to somebody else rather than maybe take those opportunities to shoot the puck? Sure. Are there times still that, you know, you're going to run into, you know, bigger, stronger guys on the ice that are able to knock you off the puck? Sure, that's going to happen. But he's going to continue to grow into his body, and he's going to continue to get better with his skill. But I think he's been fine. It's one of those where, you know, people get all the hype of, you know, hey, he's a number one pick. Look at the great numbers that he's put up in the OHL. He should just come in and that should all translate to the NHL. Well, it doesn't necessarily work that way for everybody. You know, there's only a certain Connor McDavid in the world out there. So I think he's going to continue to grow. And I think the Blues have been really happy with the fact that they were able to put him into the NHL to see how he has been able to grow. And they've liked the results so far.
Lou, there's been so many fun storylines to follow with St. Louis this season. Obviously, one of the top is the play of joining Binnington. And one of my favorite moments out of him was when, I can't remember the reporter that was asking him, but was talking about nerves, and he seems so cool, calm, and collected. And Binnington kind of just looks at him and goes, well, do I look nervous? And then the reporter goes, no. And he goes, well, there's your answer. I loved that. I love the attitude. Do you sense that kind of confidence and bravado still there in the 25-year-old netminder?
You know what? It's funny because I was standing there when that all went down, and I know it's been perceived a couple of different ways, and I perceived it the way you just described it, and I think that's the best way to describe it. That's just kind of who he is, and he's had a little fun with the media, and I think just you have to get to know him. And there are some people that just don't know him very well that were just kind of taken aback by that. Like, wow, is this who this guy is? And it's just his way of having fun with you. And I think the way he just blew the doors open when he came into the league, and, you know, just kind of having that perceived confidence, if you want to say, is just something that he kind of brings to the table. And I know there have been other teams that have seen this and feel that maybe he's a little too cocky and somebody needs to knock him down a peg or two. Well, I mean, it's going to happen. It has happened. People are going to start to figure him out a little bit more. There's going to be more video on him, and, you know, he's not going to put up all these eye popping numbers that, you know, that he put up and that he has put up so far. But yeah, I think it's great. And, you know, once you get to know him a little better, I think people are going to be able to understand who he really is. But it's just I don't want to say it's struggles, but it's just kind of the journey and the path that he's taken to the NHL. It's been a difficult one, and one where he's really had to rely on himself to get to where he's at. And he just has worked hard to be here. I mean, last year he was the guy that was playing in Providence and in Boston's AHL affiliate, believe it or not, when the Blues were without an affiliate of their own. And, you know, you kind of feel like you're out there on an island all by yourself. And, you know, he turned himself into an all-star, and he was pretty much the fourth goalie on the depth chart coming into this season. And look where he's thrust himself. So I think it's just a byproduct of where he's been and how far he's come along. And he's really relied on himself, and that's where he's kind of instilled that self-confidence in himself. And so far, the results have been really jarring so far, and it's been a great story here.
We're joined by Lou Korak of NHL.com on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And Lou, you mentioned David Perron earlier, a big offseason acquisition for the Blues, a guy that has played with the Blues prior to this year, went to a few teams and then came back. And you mentioned that he's going to be back in the lineup soon. How rare is that to have a player who's on a 13-game point streak be out for this long? He's been out for 2 months. And if he does get a point in his first game back, is that going to continue the point streak, or does he just start another one?
Well, it continues his personal point streak, but as far as the league point streaks are concerned, I remember at the time he had a league high point streak then, and once he went out of the lineup, that pretty much ends it there. Which, you know, you can kind of look at that a couple of different ways, but it is what it is. It'll continue his personal point streak, and it's a career high. So David Perron was playing great hockey before he went down, and you know, obviously he had the concussion there and the symptoms that followed with it. And we all know what happened back in 2010 when, you know, he got knocked out by Joe Thornton at the time and wound up missing 97 games. So this is something that he's been through before. He knows what it takes. And this is a guy that's gone through all the channels and all the steps of, you know, being 100%, if not 200% ready to be back in the lineup. I mean, he's been skating for a while now, and, you know, I know there's people in St. Louis that have been anxious and at times, I don't want to say agitated, but, you know, maybe frustrated a little bit, wondering, well, when's this guy going to come back? He's been skating, you know, he's been with the team, and he's not in the lineup. He's not in the lineup. He's not in the lineup. And, you know, listen, these things can go any sort of different ways. I mean, guys are able to come back from these pretty quick. Some guys are not. And, you know, but David Perron, nobody knows David Perron better than David Perron. And apparently he's ready to go here today. And he's missed the last 24 games. And like I said, with the scoring drought here the last few games, the way it's gone, missing a couple of key ingredients, they're going to welcome him back with open arms. And, you know, when you can add a guy like that to your lineup, you know, I know it's a cliche, but it's almost kind of like one of those trade deadline acquisitions. And certainly somebody that they're going to need back in the lineup here down the stretch to try to solidify and keep their hold on a playoff spot.
Lou Korak covers the St. Louis Blues for NHL.com. He's also a very good friend of the program. The Blues and the Penguins face off in less than an hour, noon Central Time, a very key game for both teams. Lou, thanks so much, as always, for joining us this morning, and enjoy this afternoon's game between the Blues and Penguins.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, have a good weekend, Lou. All right, it's time for our Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet, We'll Call You bonus play. If you texted You Bet and your phone number this week to 129090 this past week, I just mentioned that this past week. How many times am I going to say this past week? If you texted You Bet, we could be calling you right now. Stand by as we reach out to play You Bet Your Jet next on your radio home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Winnipeg Jets versus Calgary Flames tonight at 6 o'clock. A game, of course, you can hear live on the station. But now it's time to play the Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet, We'll Call You bonus play. Do we have Dwayne on the line?
We do.
Dwayne, good morning. And first off, tell us where you're from. What area of Winnipeg are you from?
Calling from North Kildonan.
All right, North Kildonan. We got a couple of North Enders, original North Enders, Dave Manuk and Sean Assor. Originally grew up in Garden City. They've now come to the dark side and now live in the South End. But here we go. Dwayne from North Kildonan. Earlier, you texted You Bet and your number to 129090. And we just drew your number from all those who have texted in so far. So, Dwayne, you've already won a legendary 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza just for being our Saturday morning. We'll call you bonus qualifier. So you've got that right off the bat. And now Yeah, you're welcome. And now we're going to, I'm not going to personally deliver you that pizza, but the fine folks at Boston Pizza are going to make sure that you get that 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza.
Okay, that's great.
Now we're going to give you a chance to win some great prizes and, more importantly, some big cash. You have a chance to win $1,000. That's $1,000 Canadian.
That would be wonderful.
Here's how it works. Today on Bet Your Jet, we're featuring blue liners, defensemen, Dustin Byfuglien, Ben Sherratt, and Josh Morrissey. I'm going to ask you a skill testing question about the jet you select. If you get that one right, you're going to win some great prizes. Then, as long as you get that question right, we're going to play a random highlight from this season. If your jet scores, you instantly win $1,000 cash. So now, it's time for You Bet Your Jet. Who do you want to select? Dustin Byfuglien, Ben Sherratt, or Josh Morrissey?
Oh, man. I'll go Ben Sherratt.
All right, I like it. Number 7, Ben Sherratt. Here we go. It's the question round. We're going to begin with a skill testing question. If you get this right, Dwayne, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Jets and the Rangers on March 28th. Here's the question we asked Ben. Who was your hockey hero growing up? Did Ben say Gump Worsley or Paul Coffey?
Oh, it's got to be Paul Coffey.
All right, let's find out, Dwayne.
Hi, this is Ben Sherratt. Who was my biggest hockey hero when I was a kid? Paul Coffey.
All right, Dwayne, you got it right. Ben Sherratt's hero growing up was Paul Coffey, Hall of Fame defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers. So you have won a pair of tickets to the Jets and Rangers on March 28th. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. First game of the year.
Oh, that's awesome. And we're not done with you, though, Dwayne. Now, because you got that question right, we're able to go to the big cash round. How are you feeling right now?
A little nervous.
All right. So now, if Ben Sherratt scores in the highlight that we play, and just to recap, so now you've got tickets to the Jets and Rangers game. You've got the legendary spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. And now you have a chance to win $1,000. So we're going to play this random highlight. And if Ben Sherratt scores, you win $1,000 cash. Here we go.
Bounce back into where the corner, picked up by Laine, controls the puck on the near side, put it back in behind the net for Lowry. He gets some separation back toward Byfuglien, winds up, puts it up top for Sherratt. He let a slapper go, fired wide, rebounding! Oh, what a great stop by Reimer. Put back on the front, Laine turning, letting a shot go, stop by Reimer, scramble in the front, and Byfuglien had an opportunity again to try to put it out in front and couldn't.
I thought Ben Sherratt was going to score there, even though that already happened, but... You know, unfortunately, that was not a goal for Ben Sherratt on that highlight. But, Dwayne, you win a pair of tickets to see the Jets and the Rangers on March 28th. You get that legendary spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. Thanks so much for joining us today on the You Bet Your Jet Saturday bonus play.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Dwayne. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well
done.
That's
fun to do that.
First of all, the music's amazing.
Yeah, the music.
I'm always on that side, so being on this side... I was like, "Oh, am I playing?" But Dwayne, nice little haul there. Yeah.
Dwayne was excited. There was a little nerves there, but yeah. You know, he made a good choice.
What a great prize! On your way to the game, go to BP City Place, get yourself a pierogi pizza.
Yeah, no,
great evening.
Nice guy. Dwayne set himself up for a nice little evening. It'll be a fun night. A lot of fun with that contest.
Dwayne wins that pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza and tickets to the Jets Rangers game on March 28th. So much fun! A great contest that's going to be running for the next couple of months here on TSN Radio 1290.
The return of Brendan Lemieux.
Absolutely. Brendan Lemieux will be back in Winnipeg. He's playing some good hockey. He got into a little bit of trouble earlier this week, but great to see Brendan back in town. Guys, we're going to continue the preview of the Jets versus Flames here. We talked about it last segment. The Flames picked up that big 5-1 win at home yesterday against the New York Rangers. The Jets are going to catch a team that hasn't had a lot of rest. They just finished their game late last night. They're going to be into Winnipeg, And no Sean Monahan. If you weren't listening to the show earlier, Sean Monahan has the flu and he won't play tonight for the Calgary Flames. So we're going to expect Elias Lindholm. Oh, it's... What are you sending me here?
Apparently it's the Islanders, Huss is saying, not the Rangers.
Oh, well, it said Rangers on the script.
Yeah, I know. That's the error on the script, apparently. So not maybe, us, Huss.
So Brandon Lemieux plays for the Islanders?
Hold on. Do the Jets and the Rangers play on March 28th?
I don't think so. I was actually going to say, I think it is the Islanders. I think Huss is right. Why is Huss not running this contest? I think it's just Islanders, actually.
It is Islanders.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dwayne, if you're still listening.
It's a New York-based team you'll be seeing,
it's a
Dwayne.
New York-based team that you will be seeing. It appears that it's going to be the Islanders versus the Jets. I was reading off of a script. It was the Jets and the Rangers that was on the script.
Because the Jets played the Rangers on February 12th, and they beat them
4-3. I got the spicy pierogi pizza part
right. You did get that part right, yes. And you've got the fact that it was a New York-based team. So, right.
The wrong New York-based team.
Fair. But there's some...
So Dwayne won tickets to a game that doesn't exist.
He does. He did.
Congratulations.
Unless we retroactively gave Dwayne tickets to that Rangers game that they beat. I mean, the Jets won at least that game.
Dwayne from North Kildonan is going to see a Jets game on March 28th.
Yeah. Yeah. Huss was concerned. But don't worry, Huss. We've got it fixed, and Alex will rectify it with Dwayne.
I'm just glad to see that Huss is up already. Yeah. I thought Huss would be sleeping until like at least 1. He's not working today until 3, right?
You throwing some shade at our man, Huss?
The afternoon ride's going to kick it off today, guys. I should mention Huss and Rick will be live from Boston Pizza City Place with the afternoon ride, and then Kevin O and friends are going to be by with the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show. Of course, puck drop between the Jets and the Flames at 6. I'm looking forward to this game, guys, because anytime you have the two division winners, pardon me, they haven't won yet, two division leaders going at it. We saw the Jets and the Sharks earlier this week, that heartbreaking loss, 4-3, Joe Pavelski breaking all those Jets fans' heart. But even if Flames are coming in second game of a back-to-back, guys, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to be an easy game for the Jets. The Flames are absolutely stacked with offensive weapons, whether or not Sean Monahan is in the lineup. Matthew Tkachuk, a monster night last night. In case you weren't listening earlier, Matty Tkachuk had his first career 5-point night. So I'll throw it to you, Dave. What are you looking forward to in tonight's game between the Jets and the Flames? A huge game in which the Jets can maintain first place in the Central and beat a team that they could possibly have to go through to get to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, no, and I think the fact of the matter is if you're the Jets, you want to end this homestand on a positive note. I mean, winning one, losing one isn't a good way to go into the playoffs. And, you know, we often talk about how you finish the season can impact the way you go, you know, obviously in the playoffs itself. But the fact of the matter is you don't have to be firing on all cylinders, but you want to be firing on most of them.
on some cylinders.
Yeah, so I think from the Jets' perspective, you really do need to step it up. You have an opportunity to give it to a team who's a very good hockey team, but you know, maybe dealing with that illness issue that the Jets themselves were dealing with a little bit earlier this month. So I think from the Jets' perspective, you really want to jump on Calgary. I mean, you got to know that Calgary is probably going to have some adrenaline to start the game, so they're going to have probably a pretty good push. You don't want to give up anything too easy to these guys because, I mean, as you touched on, as throughout this broadcast, I mean, they've got a ton of weapons. So from my perspective, if you're the Jets, is it a critical victory? No, but I mean, again, you've got these games in hand on Nashville. You need to start creating some time and space between you and them because you really do want, you know, we just talked to Luke Horak, you do want St. Louis and Nashville to beat each other up. And you do want the opportunity to face a Dallas or Arizona team that are the wild card team.
Well, and it could be Predators versus Dallas, right? I mean, yep. Dallas and St. Louis are neck and neck. The only thing that's certain is that nobody's catching the Jets or the Predators. I mean, nobody else is going to finish first in the Central Division. We know that.
Yeah, it seems unlikely to be able to overcome 7 points at this point in the season. So I would agree with you, especially because not one of these teams, I mean, Dallas is on a 7-3-0-0 run, so you know, they could in theory maintain, but they lost their last game. So my suspicion is none of these teams are going to be able to, it'll probably be a battle to the end, which is interesting because we talk about rest, right? And the idea of resting Connor Hellebuyck and resting players. Well, and you know, Calgary is going to be dealing with the same issue with San Jose is that idea. Like, you know, we saw this last year with players who played all the games. Like I think it was Blake Wheeler sat and Josh Morrissey sat and, you know, that last game, the 82nd game, even though they played the whole season, just to rest themselves up in advance of that first round. What's interesting to me is it really gives a team like Vegas, who's got nothing to really worry about, well, most likely nothing to worry about. I mean, Arizona's only 6 back to them. But you know, gives Vegas an opportunity to kind of rest up, whereas the other two teams are probably going to be playing it till the end.
And Dave, we talked about how good this Flames team is offensively. You've got 330 goal scorers in Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and Matthew Tkachuk, and Elias Lindholm has got 27. So they're going to have 430 goal scorers by the time the season is over. But they're the only team in the NHL that has four players with 70 or more points. Gaudreau, Monahan, we talked about Lindholm, and Matthew Tkachuk. So with the exception of the Tampa Bay Lightning, this is the best offensive team in the entire league. They have so many weapons. And coming into this game, second game of a back-to-back, Shawnee, even though Sean Monahan's not going to be in the middle for the Flames, you're still going to have to shut down Johnny Hockey, Elias Lindholm, and Matthew Tkachuk and others. Sam Bennett is another guy that's having a nice bounce back year. So not going to be an easy one tonight.
Definitely not going to be an easy one. The Jets yet to defeat the Flames this season in two meetings entering tonight. And if we remember what happened between the Jets and Flames at Bell MTS Place, the last meeting back on January 27th, a 4-1 win for Calgary, Johnny Gaudreau had himself a hat trick, and that crazy play through the neutral zone where he weaved and bobbed and gave and go, and should be a fun one. He's always a fun, exciting player to watch. Flames are rolling right now, and it'll be a challenge for the Jets.
And it's always nice to see former Jet Michael Frolik back in the building. He was a very productive Winnipeg Jet. So Frolik is going to be back in town tonight facing the Jets. Boys, we're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Brad Schlossman. He covers college hockey for the Grand Forks Herald. The University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks are fighting for their playoff lives right now. They lost game one to the University of Denver yesterday. Game two goes tonight in Denver. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on the home of the Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Two segments to go here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. It's a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Flames at 6 o'clock tonight. Just a reminder that the afternoon ride is going to be live from Boston Pizza City Place at 3. Huss and Rick and friends, and then Kevin Owen, even more friends, are going to be live at Boston Pizza City Place with the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show. Let's head to Denver now on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. We're pleased to be joined by our very good friend, Brad Schlossman of the Grand Forks Herald. He's in Denver right now covering the University of North Dakota versus University of Denver WCHC series. Brad, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, as we mentioned, the NCHC quarterfinals are taking place in Denver right now between UND and Denver. And Denver won Game 2 last night despite outshooting them 32-17. Was Game 1 just a function of UND running into a hot goaltender in Philip Larson and not burying those chances?
Well, I'll say two things. Number one, yes, Philip Larson is excellent. UND has not been able to find a way to solve him this season. He stopped 140 of 143 shots in four games against UND this year. The most they've scored in a game is one against him, and he was outstanding last year. He's a highly touted prospect. We had him as the number one incoming freshman in the NCHC this season, and I think he's backed that up this year with a great year. That being said, UND has seemingly run into hot goalies all year long, and the number of times that's happened means they're not just running into hot goalies. They're having a problem finishing off scoring chances. Last night was the 10th time they've lost this year when out shooting a team by double digits. So this story has played out quite a few times. So UND is a team that's really struggled to finish despite being number two in the nation in puck possession in both Corsi and Fenwick. They are 43rd in offense. So the possession hasn't led to offense for this team this season.
No, Brad, going back to Wednesday when yourself, the UND team, and others were on a plane and it was diverted from Denver to Albuquerque, New Mexico because of a blizzard in Colorado. Take us back to that. How crazy was that 24 to 36 hour period for you?
Yeah. We got on a plane expecting to head to Colorado and, trying to beat the blizzard before it got to Grand Forks. Unfortunately, it had not passed through Denver yet. So they looked at where they could divert the flight to, and it ended up being Albuquerque, New Mexico, which I think virtually everyone on the team had never been to New Mexico. So that was new. It was about a seven-hour drive to Denver. The team went about halfway on Wednesday. On Thursday, they tried to go the rest of the way, but I-25 was still closed, so they had to stop in Colorado Springs. Head coach Brad Berry called up Frank Ceratori, the coach over at Air Force, to see if he could get practice time at Air Force. And sure enough, Frank Ceratori carved out some time. He's a former UND assistant coach, so they have a connection there. And UND got some practice time in at Air Force, and then they eventually opened up the interstate, and UND got to Denver. So it was a bit of an adventure getting here.
You know, Brad, a lot of Jets fans have their eye on the Omaha University of Minnesota Duluth series because of 2017 Jets second-round pick Dylan Sandberg, defenseman. You picked Duluth to win the series in two games. Are they the team to beat right now? And how would you assess Sandberg's season for the Bulldogs?
Yeah, you know, first, I think St. Cloud State's the team to beat. They won the league's regular season title. Minnesota Duluth is a really good team and a really good decor, and Dylan Sandberg's a big part of it. Just as it's happened, I have probably been in the building for some of his toughest games of the season. But I've talked to a lot of people out at Duluth who have really liked the way he's played this season. And the one thing I'll say about the games I saw him play when he had some really tough games, he had some tough first periods where he got beat on a couple of goals. And the encouraging part, I thought, is he didn't let it compound the rest of the game. A couple of those games, he ended up being really good in the second and third periods. And you know, some guys, you have a bad start to the game, and it can be a long night. And I think the games I've seen where Sandberg maybe had a tough start to the game, he really rebounded from it pretty well. And in one game in particular, ended up having a really, really good game. So I think that's got to be something that Jets fans are encouraged about. And just overall his play and his ability to both be a shutdown guy and a guy who can add some offense makes him an intriguing prospect.
We're joined by Brad Schlossman of the Grand Forks Herald on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And on Thursday, UND captain Colton Poolman was named a finalist for NCHC Player of the Year and Defensive Defenseman of the Year. Of course, Colton Poolman is the brother of Tucker Poolman. Is the expectation that after UND's season is over, he's going to sign with an NHL team right away?
Well, I think that's a huge question mark right now. I don't think there's an expectation either way. I think a lot of people are wondering what he's going to do. Is he going to come back for his senior year? Is he going to turn pro? He's definitely going to have the offers out there. You know, teams are interested in signing him as a free agent. He's a little bit of a different player than Tucker in the sense that Tucker's got a little bit more size and range. Tucker has that really heavy shot from the back end. Colton is an exceptional skater. He has a burst where he can get from, you know, 0 to 100 in no time. You know, I think to how many times an opponent has dumped the puck back in their own end, and it looks like the other guy has, you know, a head start on Poolman, who is starting from a standstill, and all of a sudden he's up to 100 in no time, and he retrieves the puck. He's a great skater. He's got some good skill. He's good at efficient at getting the puck out of his own end, and I think there's a lot to like about Colton Poolman and how he's developed. So there will be a lot of teams after him. We'll see what he decides to do.
Well, let me tell you, Brad, if he's anything like Tucker, there will be a ton of teams, because that Tucker, last night specifically, and I texted you about it, he was in absolute beast mode yesterday. He took over the game. He was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I saw Pascal Vincent said he's playing like he's in the wrong league, and he might be in the wrong league right now. So I think we're all looking forward to seeing Tucker get a sustained shot up in Winnipeg. And, you know, I thought last year he looked pretty good up there, and I'm excited to see the next couple of years. I know he's on a one-way deal there, and Winnipeg has some decisions to make on the right side there, and I think he's going to be a big part of their future. And I think the organization is really excited about what they have in Tucker. And you know, it'll be interesting to see you know, where Colton ends up and when he ends up deciding to make that jump. But both of them are good kids, as you guys know, come from a great family, and both were leaders here in college. And I think that, you know, they're the total package, both on and off the ice.
Yep, for sure. And now we another Winnipeg, well, Winnipeg-based kid, Jackson Keane, son of Mike Keane, is a name familiar to a lot of hockey fans here in Winnipeg. How would you say his transition has gone from the BCHL to NCAA hockey?
Yeah, you know, Jackson Keane didn't put up a whole lot of points his last year in Sioux City or in the BCHL. And I think coming in this year, the expectation was that he was going to be a guy, as a freshman, he's going to have a tough time getting into the lineup. And it might take him a couple years to work his way into the lineup. And he has actually been one of the really pleasant surprises for this team. You know, I would guess the first game of the year, I was thinking, you know, he's going to be really battling to get on that fourth line. And here we are in the playoffs, and he was playing with two senior, you know, veteran guys who are both, you know, really good players in Rhett Gardner and Nick Jones last night on the team's first line. He's playing on the power play. He's killing penalties. And he's really been a guy that they could use in all sorts of different situations this year. So he's done above and beyond, I think, what I thought he would do as a freshman. And I think he's done above and beyond what, you know, frankly, what the coaches had expected of him this year. I think he was a guy they thought was going to be a contributor down the line. But, man, has he stepped in right away and been able to help out in a number of different roles.
We're joined by Brad Schlossman on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline. Brad is currently in Denver covering the University of North Dakota Denver NCHC quarterfinals, and a player that is familiar to Nashville Predators fans. He was a second-round draft pick, Grant Mismatch. He's in his second year with UND. He's back in the lineup. He's had you know, some pretty bad injury problems this year. He missed a month and a half with a knee injury, and he's not playing that much right now for UND. But how did he look last night, and overall, how would you assess his second year in NCAA college hockey?
Yeah, you know, Grant has a ton of tools. He can really hammer a shot. He's got good speed where he can beat guys and get to pucks. He can play a physical game. He has that element in him. He needs to improve his consistency. It seems like he's the opposite of Sandberg in the sense where if he has a tough start to the game, he doesn't figure it out throughout the game. I think his energy levels can be higher, his consistency can be higher, and if he rounds that part out of his game, he's going to be a really, really good player. Right now, he's not at 100%. You know, in college hockey, I can't remember, I'm getting old, so I'm losing my memory, but either this year or last year it started where you can dress a 19th skater. And, you know, part of the beauty of that this weekend is they can put in Grant Mismatch as the 13th forward and use him when they want to use him. So power play comes out, they can use him for that big shot. They can manage his minutes. He's not 100%. He admits that. His conditioning probably isn't quite there yet. So we're not seeing the real Grant Mismatch right now. But, you know, coming back next year for a third year, I think consistency and energy levels are something. If he raises that, he could be an elite player in the NCHC.
You know, Brad, UND has five seniors on its roster, including Hayden Shaw and Rhett Gardner. I mean, does it kind of go without saying that this weekend will be a little bit more special for those players?
Well, I think it's vital. Those guys really don't want this to be their last weekend. They really want to move on. These guys were part of a national championship team. You know, Rhett Gardner is a Dallas Stars pick. So, you know, I think he's a guy who you'll look to in the future. Nick Jones is a free agent. There are teams sniffing around on him. You know, Hayden Shaw is another one. I would guess Winnipeg has watched both Hayden Shaw and Nick Jones quite a bit this year with the proximity to North Dakota and their connections. So it'll be interesting to see where those guys end up. And but yeah, you know, I think if they lose tonight, their seasons are over and they'll start signing. But definitely this is a group that does not want to hit that point this week, and they want to go on and play on in the playoffs.
Brad Schlossman covers the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks and the world of college hockey for the Grand Forks Herald. Game two of the NCHC quarterfinal goes tonight live from Denver between the University of North Dakota and Denver. And we're definitely going to be cheering for the University of North Dakota here in Winnipeg, Brad, and hopefully they're able to extend the series and extend their season.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. And yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Always good to chat with you.
All right. enjoy the rest of the series, and have a great weekend, Brad.
Yeah, we'll see you soon up in Winnipeg.
All right, for sure. Sounds good. All right, we have one final segment to go, guys. We're going to talk about those Arizona Coyotes again, the surging Arizona Coyotes, and we're going to look at their schedule. We're also going to continue to talk about the Jets and Flames. One final segment to go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Final segment here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. And the segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. This weekend, winner of the last comic standing, Clayton English, is at Rumors this weekend. So if you don't have your tickets already, go to rumorscomedyclub.com. All right, guys, we have one last segment. I also want to play Paul Maurice's comments. They came in about half an hour ago. I also want to talk quickly here about the Arizona Coyotes. We were talking about the Arizona Coyotes earlier when we were talking about the Jack Adams race. And Rick Tocchet, I don't care what anybody says, has to be in the running.
He's in top three
for Coach
sure.
of the Year right now with Barry Trotz.
I think it's him and Trotz, to be honest with you. Yeah, that would be my guess.
I think John Cooper deserves some credit as well. Right now, the Coyotes are 3 points ahead of Minnesota and 5 points ahead of Colorado. Colorado does not have a game in hand because they lost yesterday, so they've played the same amount of games as the Coyotes. Chicago's in there, too, if you want to throw them in there. They're 6 points back of Arizona. But quickly, I just want to get your guys' take on the Coyotes, because if you look at their next 12 games, they play Edmonton tonight. That's a must-win for the Coyotes. The Oilers are obviously going to try to spoil, but they've got Tampa Bay coming up. Then you've got Florida, New Jersey, the Islanders, Blackhawks. And then you've got the Avalanche and Wild. So those are two teams that they're battling with. But then you've got the Kings. So when you talk about Florida, New Jersey, the Blackhawks, the Kings, these are all not playoff teams. And then the Coyotes at home end their season against, you guessed it, the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and let me tell you that.
So are they going to hold on to a playoff spot?
I mean, that strength of schedule is not a lot of strength there. So I think that from the Coyotes' perspective, you know, what they've been doing, what they've managed to put together at this point of the season is again, we've talked about it, sound like a broken record, but it's remarkable considering the number of injuries that this Coyotes team is even in the conversation. I mean, this is not something anybody would have anticipated 2 months ago, which is why, of course, the hockey games are actually played and we don't just stop the season because, you know, it's not above a playoff line in November at the Thanksgiving Day break. So I love it. I think it's a great story. I think it, you know, I think wouldn't it be hilarious if somehow the Jets 1.0 and the Jets 2.0 managed to meet in the playoffs in some weird, odd way, but, you know, not a high percentage of that happening, but it is possible, obviously.
I think the Coyotes have a really good chance, but guys, I don't want to count out the Colorado Avalanche left yet. They have 12 games left. And of those four teams that we talked about, Minnesota, Colorado, Arizona, and Chicago, Dallas, pardon me, they have the easiest schedule. They have 7 home games coming up, and the winning percentage of the teams that are going to play the Colorado Avalanche are the Avalanche have the best schedule coming up, put it that way. So I think the Avalanche, even without Gabe Landeskog, I think are going to be a big problem for the Avalanche. And you know, I thought it was interesting what Coyotes owner Andrew Barraway said earlier this week about the Coyotes making the playoffs. Because remember, the Coyotes have not made the playoffs since 2012. And he said that even if the Coyotes get out in the first round, it's very important for this team to make the playoffs because of what they're trying to do, how they're trying to grow hockey. Because we know that there have been all types of ownership problems in Arizona, right? I mean, we've seen the NHL take control of that Coyotes franchise. Andrew Barraway is now looking for another owner to come in, right, guys? Like, he's the majority owner right now, but he's searching for someone to join the team. So I do think that the Coyotes are in a desperate position right now to get back into the playoffs. I don't think anybody's going to pick the Coyotes to win the first round.
But what does that do for your franchise? I mean, and we talk about it, especially young players who have never had that taste of playoff success or just playoffs period, you know, and these are all guys, and we talk about it with the coaching staff, whether, you know, at the American Hockey League level, about how these guys, and Coach Maurice has talked about it, These guys have all had success. Most guys who get to the, whether it's the AHL or the NHL, have been successful in whatever league they've played, and that's the reason why they're here. These are the best of the best of the best. Well, that's ultimately the NHL, but even the ones who are, you know, in the development process are usually the best of the best in their sport, and usually are on successful teams. So most of these teams, you know, for you know, when we talked about Buffalo earlier, to be 8 years without a playoffs, you know, forget about what it does for the fan base who want to kill everyone when their teams are struggling in that manner for that long. But just for the players themselves, for these young guys to not get that taste, not get that experience, because we talked about it. I mean, we talked about it when we had Danny Austin on with the Flames, and I asked him about Calgary not really being seen as a legitimate contender by a lot of people, and he said it's because they're not battle-tested. Well, unless you get into the playoffs and play that first round, you know, you haven't been battle-tested. I mean, this Jets team, right, they hadn't been battle-tested. Then they get three rounds last year, you know, and they're going to be in for another battle this year. But at least now they can draw on that experience. Players like, you know, in a lot of these franchises, like Arizona, they don't have, like, obviously they've got veteran guys who have been in the playoffs before, but as a collective team, as a collective franchise, for these guys to get that experience, I just think it's invaluable. And sometimes, you know, we talked about it on, I think, last week's show or the week before. I think it was Drew saying, like, what's the value of a team getting out, getting in and getting knocked out? I think there is a lot of value. Well, aside from the fact that the franchise makes money, which is important for the franchise, I also think it's very important for the players.
Yeah, just really briefly, I mean, I'll take you back to when the Jets made the playoffs in their first year, got swept by the Anaheim Ducks, but just the lessons learned by the players on mm-hmm. the ice. I mean, we saw the way Scheifele was able to develop himself along with the rest of the youth, but even from a managerial perspective, the GM, the owner, the coaching staff, they saw a shift in direction necessary that they needed to take with the Jets in order to be successful moving forward if they ever wanted to win the Cup. So even from a managerial perspective, it really helps with your direction of the franchise.
It's going to be an amazing race here in the Western Conference. You've got the Dallas Stars, the Minnesota Wild, the Colorado Avalanche, the Arizona Coyotes, and the Chicago Blackhawks all battling for those last two wild card spots. That's going to do it for us here today on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thanks to all of our guests, Mike McIntyre, Danny Austin. Mike Kelly joined us from TSN and The Point Hockey. Lou Korak of NHL.com and Brad Schlossman of the Grand Forks Herald. Big thanks to all of our sponsors, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, and Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Jets and Flames tonight at 6. Afternoon Ride's going to be by at 3. And then the Winnipeg Jets pregame show with Kevin Owen Friends is at 5 o'clock at Boston Pizza City Place. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next Saturday.